3HL, what up, Nashville? More storms coming through. Severe thunderstorm warnings all over the place.
Most storms.
Flash flood warnings northwest of the city. So we've got you covered somewhat. We're all in black today. Haven't figured out why.
Because of the storms. We're rolling in like the storm.
Oh, Brent Doherty. There she is, Dawn Davenport.
Yeah, bro.
There she is.
Yeah.
Whoa. I tried to time that out. I could see you were going to sneeze. Dawn Davenport. Ha-choo!
Happy Monday to you.
And there he is, Ron Slay.
I'm in the building.
People. I don't think we got that done at the beginning of the show.
We did.
Yeah.
You snuck it in there?
You just slid it in casually.
A lot of people asking about the Python story. So Ron Slay got a Python in New Orleans and then decided that's probably not a great idea. So releases the snake into Knoxville.
Yeah.
Paul Mason, our fearless leader here, program director, 104.5 The Zone, came in the studio and said, you know, those things live to be about 30 years old.
And you know what? I always like to. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to do the math here.
So it still has 10 years left.
This would have been about 18, 19 years ago?
This was I was still standing in the dorm.
Yeah, free the Python into the dorm.
Into my freshman year.
Was it a co-ed dorm?
Nope, it was Gibbs.
Oh, okay.
Into my freshman year. Yep, so 2000.
I can see you
nine more years on life.
I can see you like staying in Hess or something like that. Back when we were there, largest dorm in the SEC.
Oh.
I don't know where it stands now, but it was co-ed. So like I could see the snake. You bring the snake into the dorm room. Like this has probably happened. Like you're not the only guy that decided to get a snake while they were in college.
Let me tell you something, Brent.
And it gets into like the air conditioning ducts and stuff and then just drops out of the ceiling
this
in somebody's room.
From a movie. Oh. I feel like it was in a movie.
Yeah. Showers at the end of the hall. Hot. There was no air conditioning there when I was there.
I'm going to tell you this. They wouldn't have dared to put.
Dared to put you in Hess Hall?
They wouldn't dare to put anybody in Gibbs in Hess.
That's general population over
there. Yeah, you don't. No, you need to keep us. No. Keep us. Hey, it was done correctly. Hey, boy, hey. First of all, we already drove the RAs bonkers by doing God knows what. So,
yeah, and they're trying to protect you guys from yourselves.
Exactly. Like, hey, no, please don't put. No, I can't even. I can't even imagine that.
The first year they opened Gibbs up to like everybody, I was like, let's go stay over there because the food will be good.
Food was fantastic.
So we got in. We stayed over there. Like, Mr. Porter.
Yep.
My suite mates were Miss Judy was over there
Miss
all the
Judy,
time.
Yep.
Miss Johnny Jay. Majors yep. was running around. This is how long ago it was for me. Like Johnny Majors was running around that place. He's like, I know your great grandfather. I'm like, I bet you do.
Yeah.
And the funny thing about Johnny's like that politician where I told him my name. He was like, you know, we met and I was like, I'm Brent Doherty. And he's like, hey, Brent. And then he started in, like, Johnny's a storyteller, and he's never met a stranger, so immediately you're in a 20-minute conversation about Johnny Butler's run or something like that. And anyway, I didn't see him for a couple more months, and I walked past him, and he goes, hey, Brent, how are you? Met the guy one time.
And he remembered.
Politicians are like that.
Important.
It's scary.
Yeah, important.
So anyway, we lived over there, and our suite mates were Mose Phillips and Rodney Riddick, and Rodney was an offensive lineman from Virginia. And I still keep up with him on Facebook, which is funny. He always had a crowbar in the room. I never understood that. Like, why you got a crowbar, right?
You got to crack somebody over the head for playing.
Something like that. And then Joey Kent. Sorry, Joey. Joey was always over there, too.
Yeah.
So we had a lot of fun over
there. And that was a good. Hey, boy. Yes.
The food was awesome.
Man, Mr. Porter could cook, boy.
Hey, Babs, they were carving it up, too.
Carving?
Oh, yeah, it was the athletes, man. It was like, here's super pasta carbs. On top of pasta.
Man, steaks.
Yeah.
Ribeyes.
They're over in Presidential Courtyard.
Boy, I
courtyard.
Remember he said, hey, boy, you come on in. Go get y'all some of them. I got some. Hey, what do you say? Yes, sir. I got some steaks over there. Man, Mr. Porter was a cold. Rest in peace, Mr. Porter. Boy, he took care of us. And you used to always have to have your card to get in there to swipe. But we used to forget our card all the time. And the little lady used to be tripping up there in the front. But Mr. Porter used to be like, hey, no, you let them boys on in. Boys got to get strong. Of my boy, Mr. Porter, man.
And then you'd have the guy that looked like Homer Simpson. That was the the tutor,
Ron Payne.
Ron Payne, yeah.
So Payne used to get to eat it. Hey, man, that was
just a normal dude walking around with khaki shorts and knee braces.
Gibbs was all right, man. Gibbs was all right. It was all right.
I don't know what it is now, but
the
it was.
It's called Stokely, Stokely Hall. No,
it had a life of its own. And then, yeah, current odds to win the College World Series. Vanderbilt's the favorite.
Oh, wow.
Tennessee was the favorite coming in, right?
What?
Vanderbilt was the favorite. Tennessee was third.
Oh, I thought
Texas was.
I thought Tennessee was the favorite.
They were. They were for me, Babs.
Yes. Wait, well, wait. I mean, the favorite won the last 13.
Oh yeah, so they wouldn't have
College won. World they Series. Have so and What's Vanderbilt's the favorite too? Coming in.
Like you have to win the first game to win the
35 of the last 39.
Yep.
Have won the College World Series have won their first game.
You 35 know what the good thing is?
Of 39.
Like that's all that stuff is meant to be broken. Hey,
there's four of them that didn't.
Hey, why not be five?
I love
that's not very good at odds.
Yeah, we ain't worried about
35
the odds
of 39.
Yeah,
I'm just saying it's set up well, and it has changed the way they've done it, the brackets and all that. It's changed over the years.
You're smiling?
Yeah, you just look surly today.
You do, but 35 of 39, that's pretty
heavy. Yeah, I think it's good odds.
Yeah.
By the way, thanks to everybody on the Zone TV feed, whether you're on Twitch, which, by the way, download that app, follow 104.5 The Zone. Yes, that's my favorite vehicle for Zone TV. YouTube, which I'm on right now, and I'll get back to. Facebook Live, hit in the message bar, !! Notify, and you'll get notification when shows go live. On Facebook Live, Twitter is Twitter Live, Periscope. I'm watching YouTube, and I'm reading what we're saying on YouTube.
They got to – I see. I don't want to do that.
They have closed captioning?
Yeah, that'll throw me all the way off.
I'm watching YouTube, and I'm reading what we're saying on YouTube.
It sounds like you you're reading it now.
it's just gonna.
I really wish I could go back and read how it spelled everything that he was talking about with Mr. Porter.
Yeah, I know that's not gonna add up though. That's not adding up on now.
That was a really good invitation of Mr. Porter. God rest his soul. Hey. And Miss Judy's soul.
Miss J, man.
And Johnny's soul. Yep. I don't know about Ron Payne.
Now Payne kicking. Well, he ain't actually kicking, but he walking. Payne knees ain't going to let him kick.
And he doesn't have a cell phone. If you need Payne, you got to go find him. Yeah. He's just a normal dude walking around with
pads. Yeah, you can tell a patch.
Looks like Homer Simpson.
He look exactly like Homer.
All right, Vandy, +105, the favorite to win it all. Mississippi State, #2 at +330. So Vanderbilt's got some room there. Listen, if Leiter wins tonight, it's going to be tough to get Vandy out of there.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Rocket will probably go on Friday, and then they're set up.
And then they're set up for those two to go in the best two out of three.
That's crazy.
So important to win your early games in this thing.
I know.
So important.
Couldn't you, like,
what happened?
You should
to
have called up there and talked to the Tennessee guys before they got murdered and someone else took their uniform.
Yeah, trash talk.
If you could only talk to them before they became corpses.
I will tell you, I did not watch the game in real time as it was going on. So I watched the reaction on Twitter to all of it. And I mean, Vol Twitter, bless your hearts. We always do this. This is just Tennessee can't perform in the big game. On the national stage. This is what happens. Why does this always happen?
That's every fan base, except for Alabama.
Yeah, that ain't me.
Boo. Who?
So what I'm saying.
What did you say,
you can
Slay?
Understand the boo-hoo.
I didn't even say a thing, but what I am saying is they're better. Honestly, this team right here. I'm not saying every team. This team right here plays better when their back's against the wall.
Right. So let's
this
go.
This is a hard,
tough opponent.
A hard, hard wall, though.
Yeah, everybody likes hard walls.
Not everybody likes hard walls, Slay.
Sometimes people you do wall sits on hard walls.
Well, sometimes the hard walls you can't get through.
Yeah, he ain't trying to get through it. We're just trying to fight off of it.
There's negative Nancy over here.
Yeah, I don't know why she's acting
I'm
like
sorry.
Hulk.
I'm just keeping it real.
No, Babs, don't do
See,
that.
See, just because you're thinking everything is like the negative thing doesn't mean you're keeping it real.
Yeah, that ain't real, Babs.
No, that's real.
What if Slay's keeping it real and they win?
Right.
Then who kept it real?
Then what, Babs?
No, yeah. Then it's
who do you expect to win between Tennessee and Texas?
The real UT? Who's the real UT?
Put my dog on the line.
I'm just kidding.
Put my dog on the line. Cooperate the story. We got a second Brent.
Yeah, I didn't even hear it. What did he
say? Yeah, this is me and Hunk right here. Me and Hunk.
All right, somebody's on the phone. I have no idea who this is.
Nasty dude.
What's going on, big boy?
Hey, first of all, man, we got...
I recognize that voice.
Yeah, that's y'all, bro, man. That's the I've one done and it. Only.
I did a basketball game with him.
See?
How you doing, Ms. Dawn?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
Yarbrough, what happened with that python, man? Tell me your mom still has it.
No, she is out of there. It's out of there.
Nasty, I told him, man. Your mama called me and told me, man, this thing over here hissing.
Like, yeah, it's out of there. Him and Dale went and got him one.
So Dale did too. So did.
Yeah.
See?
What, Vincent, did you not like talk some sense into these guys? I mean,
no, I wasn't on that trip, dog. I wasn't on that trip. I was when they got back. When they got back, that's when I saw it.
See, there you go. The responsible one wasn't there to give you the yellow light.
Slip. See, I wouldn't have told him it was a good idea, but I would have sat back and just to see what happened, right? Like, and not get in the way of it.
No, by now, y'all know Slay. Now, if he's going to get a snake, something's going to happen. So,
Nasty, you gotta be around roller coaster. What made me go get the snake? Where was I at? Were we in New Orleans or something?
I have no idea where we were at when you got that snake.
Were either. You present when it was released into downtown Knoxville?
I thought that the snake got released in the Gibbs Hall, actually.
I just know it's somewhere around the vicinity.
It might have made it downtown, but I thought that it was released and it couldn't be found again in Gibbs. So.
What if Ron Payne took it? Maybe he's had it all these years.
Hey, Payne might have it in that backpack, man.
Oh, my goodness.
He might have it in that backpack.
Oh, dear.
Hey, Vincent, how'd you get the nickname Nasty? I got to ask you.
I mean, are we on the radio? Are we alive?
We are live.
We're live.
We are 100% live.
Lord, no.
You're not going there?
We didn't want to Julio Jones you. We are live.
Listen, guys, I told him I give everybody nicknames, man. Like,
everybody. And it sticks. And it's, you know, sometimes you get a nickname and doesn't really stick. Slay's nicknames stick like glue. Hey,
right. Vincent Yarbrough checking in. All right, man. Hey, good to hear
you,
boy.
I had to get you on the line, man. We got to get you back later, right, man.
Anytime, brother. Anytime. Y'all man. Take care of yourself.
Oh, shoot. Hey, man.
I don't even know what just happened.
I don't know. We're about to. Vincent Yarbrough called in. About the nickname in the break.
You Nasty. You didn't get a text message to call somebody named Nasty and have no clue what you were doing.
That's right. Just make the call. That's all right. All you got to do. Connect the dots, huh?
Let's do this. Let's take Jason in the borough. He was at the Ally 400. When we come back, and then we'll pop Chris Lowe on.
Talk
some more about the 12-team playoff. Is that a good idea? And also, of course, the Supreme Court ruling today. All that coming up. Stay tuned. 3HL 104.5 The Zone. There may be some evidence that Gerard Mayo might have had a snake too. I mean, this is crazy. I'm still wondering, Ron, if you were nervous, like for like the next week or two.
Oh,
like,
just
you
slightly.
You didn't want to see a story on like Bob Kessling on WBIR TV or whatever.
Yeah,
snake and Bill's kid.
I also didn't want to see the snake. I didn't want to run back into the snake anymore. So hopefully that snake's somewhere doing well or sleeping.
You think it would just come back home?
Yeah, it'll come back to daddy.
Jason of the Borough, and then we'll get to Chris Lowe, talk some college athletics. Jason, what's up, man? Thanks for listening.
Hey, thanks, guys, and Dawn. Yeah, I just want to talk about the Allied 400.
How was it?
Man, it was crazy. Great. You know, the getting in, an hour and a half to get in, and almost 2.5 to get out.
Yikes. That's rough.
And the most thing is, when you have a NASCAR fan coming to watch a race, and it's called the Nashville Super Speedway, and there's a bunch of rednecks coming, you got to supply them some beer.
I heard they ran out, right?
They ran out. They ran out of chicken tenders. They ran out of fries.
Y'all drink them dry?
45 minutes.
Y'all drink them dry?
Yeah.
What?
Nashville, I mean, man.
You know, we had some in the car, but you can't bring it in no more, so...
Yikes. That's rough.
Well, live and learn, though.
We'll give them the benefit of the doubt that there hasn't been a race there since what, 2011?
Yeah, it's a different
11 years.
Yeah. So it's been a while.
Or, you know, but it's like, if you want NASCAR to be big in Middle Tennessee, you've got to get big on supplying the beer and food and all that. Not
going
out.
They'll get it they going, man. Prepared. They'll get it going. It's like when a restaurant opens. First night's tough sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
They'll get it going. Hey, thank you, Jason. Appreciate it.
Yes, thanks for calling.
You had heard some of that?
I had heard, yeah, because I had a friend who was there who was not happy. Fair enough. It was hot, too. What do you want when it's really hot? You want a real cold beer.
They tried to back the race up in NBC or whichever affiliate they were on only gave them 10 minutes.
Like, well, yeah, because guess what? TV programs and scheduling, you need to stay on schedule. Can you imagine? No, I can't even. Like, I'm surprised they even gave them 10 minutes. Well, let's bring Chris Lowen. Get his opinion on an event asking the television broadcast to push it back just because they have not gotten fans into the facility in time. Not because of weather, nothing like that. Chris Lowe, what's your take on that? You work for ESPN. You know how tight these television schedules are sometimes.
You know who they need to ask, Dawn? They need to ask Alvin Kamara. I see Alvin is getting involved now in NASCAR. Mm-hmm. Did you see that last night?
Yeah, he is.
You know, so, hey, Alvin can tote the rock. He could catch the ball out of the backfield. It sounds like maybe he's into some NASCAR, too. So maybe we need to get Alvin on the phone.
I will say this, based on what I didn't even know about the 10 minutes. But, dude, there were some sweating people. There was some high anxiety going on
in
that situation.
Oh,
good night.
You know, and I'm sort of laughing, joking, obviously. But you know what reminds me of, Brent? The Tennessee-Virginia Tech game in Bristol. That was one of the most difficult times I've ever had of getting into a stadium in my life. Mm-hmm. The day of that game, there were so many people there. It was also hot because remember it was the start of the football. It was the start of the season. That was a nightmare getting into the racetrack for that game.
It was such a cool event though. But yeah, you're right. Chris Lowe with us from ESPN.com at CLowe. ESPN on Twitter. Hey, Chris, real quick before we get into the NCAA stuff, did you ever find Slay's python that he released into the city of Knoxville back in the day?
And did
no,
you
I didn't,
this?
And I hope I don't find it.
They can live up to 30 years, so be careful. We can still got like 10.
Slay, are you sure you didn't take it up to New York City with you guys that night?
No, he wouldn't have made it up to No, sir.
Vincent Yarbrough just called in. He thought Ron Payne, the tutor, might have put it in his backpack.
Hey, Slay, DJ Ron Payne.
Yeah, the one and only DJ Ron
like for,
Payne.
Because nobody knows who this guy is, but he looks like Homer Simpson. He wears khaki shorts and knee pads. Like, we don't know
he
what happened
with
him.
He was a tutor, by the way, who eventually was banned.
Ron Payne was, for years and years and years, was the MVP of that athletic department.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and but then he got banned from the university.
Yeah.
Hey, I would drive up Cumberland. This is years ago when I first, you know, soon after I got back to Knoxville when I was working in Tennessee, and I'd drive up Cumberland Avenue. This is before they came in and refurbished it and put in all the trees and the medians. And I looked to my left, and here comes DJ Ron Payne in a knee brace and shorts walking up the sidewalk dribbling a basketball.
I'm telling you, dude.
See, you don't have to know this guy to understand the image that I think that we've painted. And, like, now I think everybody listening knows it.
It is facts.
Slay, am I lying?
No,
am
not at all. Not at all. You can find him at Hyper or in Stokely trying to get some shots up. Full-fledged sweat, and then go tutor and lick his fingers every time.
Oh, my God.
Before he turned the page. Like, it was amazing. Ron Payne was the greatest.
They give you all the answers.
Oh, man. Boy, I don't care. I don't care what it is, man. The test can be made up on the spot. Somehow, Ron Payne was going to know the answers to the test. I don't know how he did it, man. This man was, he was different, man. I'm telling you.
Low Dog, you need to write a book about these, like, random people in Tennessee through the years.
You know what's beautiful about you guys, period, and certainly now that Slay's a part of the show, is we could talk about these things, and Slay knows 1,000% what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Yep. And that's see, that's why I called Vince. I had to get Vince on the line. See, that's the thing. You got to get people to be able to relate to the stories and tell the stories, too, from a different perspective. And know you're telling the truth. So, yeah. Right on. Right on, CeeLo. Way to go, Lo.
Chris Lo with us from ESPN.com. Obviously, the big story of the day, Chris, NCAA goes to the Supreme Court to defend the idea of limiting educational expenses as a part of grant and aid. They lost 9-0. Not really a smart idea, I guess.
Well, amateurism as we know it is over.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know the college sports, big-time college sports in the next 5 years from now will look even remotely close to what they look like now. And you know, I find the most laughable part of the NCAA trying to hold on for dear life is they're saying they want a model in place to where athletes getting compensated for their name, image, and likeness or just getting paid, period, as part of their total educational experience and it not being used as a recruiting inducement. Come on, give me a break. you don't think every school out there, Ohio State, Bama, Tennessee, Florida, USC, every car dealer, everything, everybody they have that's connected with the university, but that's going to be an inducement to get kids on campus. But I think the days of our idea of amateurism are over. It's sort of been moving this direction for a long time. I'm not going to say it's going to happen overnight, but certainly within the next three or four or five years. Here's my question, Slay. Do we see the professional leagues? Because right now it's an NBA rule and it's an NFL rule that kids can't go straight from high school to the pros. You know, in basketball, right, obviously you got to go 1 year. In football, you got to be out of high school 3 years. Do we start to see those rules go by the wayside? And if a kid feels like he's ready, basketball, football, then they get that opportunity. I like the baseball rule. I think that's the best rule, that either you're drafted out of high school or you got to come in out of high school unless you go to junior college. And junior college is the way around that. Or you got to be in college for 3 years before you get drafted again. See, I think that's the best rule.
I like that baseball rule, too. I just think that with basketball, man, and with football, it's going to be tough because football on the body, it's just going to be hard to see a guy go 1 year and then try to make a transition to go play against a 32-year-old at linebacker who's trying to feed his family also. But as far as basketball goes, the G League and the EYBL League and all of this, like, it was just another kid that was offered $1.2 million to skip his year. Like, they're offering this money, man, and if you don't hurry up and get behind it, which the NCAA's already dragged their feet. So I think it's over and done with. I think basketball as we know it, Chris, it's a done deal. Like, it's no reason for me. If I was coming out of Oak Hill and I'm top 15 in America, I'm definitely weighing my options if the G League comes to me and said, hey, man, listen, we'll pay you $700,000 for a year. You play on the G League Elite. And then you see the list that just came out for the guys that got invited to Chicago. Four of those guys off the G League Elite team got invited to Chicago. So I can go make $700,000, tax it and get whatever, and then still be able to go in the draft? I'm out. It just don't make no sense to me. And
everybody's opportunity to get ahead of it. And that's why it's hard for me to sit here and say, well, this is definitely going to happen this way or that way. I mean, everybody comes from a different background, a different socioeconomic background. Everybody's values, everybody, what they're looking for out of school is different, and so there may be five kids who all are terrific prospects and they all may have five different things that they're looking at. Mm-hmm. So I just think the option should be there.
Yeah.
If a kid, and Slay, you're right, man. It's very, very, you can count on one hand how many ready-made football players there are at that level that can go from being a 17 or 18 year old high school player to playing NFL football.
Right.
I don't know how realistic that is, but to me, the option should exist, especially now that we're going to go down this road where amateurism is going to cease to exist. And you think the opt-outs the last couple of years in football have been significant? You wait, because even though they're going to 12, and I think going to 12 teams in the playoff will help eliminate some of the opt-outs. If you get to mid-October and you're a good prospect, you're a first or second-round guy, and your team's out of it, you're going to see more and more kids opt out.
Yeah. Why would they stay?
Chris Lowe with ESPN.com. Chris, SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey just released, where are you? I can arbitorium, or is that even a word?
No, I'm at the house. I'm in lovely golf. I wish.
Or weightlifting or something.
Getting some feed for Slay's Python. Statement from SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey just released. Quote, the Supreme Court's opinion today in the Alston case provides clarity as we move forward to provide additional educationally related benefits to student athletes. What also is clear is the need for the continuing evaluation of the collegiate model consistent with the court's decision and message. Our next step is to engage with our member institutions to consider the implications of the opinion delivered today by the court and to continue our tradition of providing superior educational and competitive opportunities while effectively supporting our student athletes. So that point is certainly locked in on the idea that schools can now give unlimited education-related benefits. Laptops, post-grad internships are a couple of things that have been thrown out there, but various people have different definitions of what those things are.
And you know what? You took the words right out of my mouth, man. So what? What is education related? What, to get to campus, I don't have any way to get to campus for my classes unless I have a car. Is that education related? I think there's going to be a broad definition. Everybody's definition is going to be a little bit different of what education related is. So I think that's the thing that we just need to sort of see how all this plays out. I know the commissioners, the NCAA is wanting to have as many limits on this as they can, but boy, reading the Supreme Court's, their decision today, it doesn't sound like they feel like there should be any limit. And that's, as I said a minute ago, that means amateurism as we know it, if that indeed is the case, is going to be a thing of the past.
I think also Justice Kavanaugh, particularly, the quote at the end of his piece, the NCAA is not above the law. He just eviscerated
right.
the NCAA.
Oh, yeah.
But he opened the door for others to come at them. And basically he's saying, look, we've got fertile ground here. Bring it.
Yeah, and there's going to be tons of lawsuits. You're going to see tons of suits coming forward, going forward. And I just don't see any way that the line between pro and collegiate sports in these next several years is not going to be blurred.
Oh, without
question. You know, and I know the people say, wait a minute, come on, kids are already getting paid anyway under the table, and they are. You know, shoe companies in basketball and football, you got the wink-wink, the friends of the program.
No way.
We all know that. And anybody that thinks that's not the case is sticking their head in the sand. But now, with it being above board and you being able to, you know, if I'm, you know, what would Trevor Lawrence have made last year going to automobile dealerships and posing for autograph or pictures and autographs? What if he decided to do his own little show on Twitter every Monday night? Wow. You know, a live thing on Twitter, and you had to pay to get in and listen to him talk about that week's game or whatever. I mean, there's all sorts of possibilities out there for kids now that are big-time stars. Now, you know, the second-team left guard, you know, the safety who's a former walk-on, those guys aren't going to be able to cash in. But the legitimate stars, the guys that, and certainly in big markets, in traditional markets in Columbus, Ohio, and Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and Knoxville, Tennessee, Austin, Texas, I mean, those kids are going to be able to make some serious money now.
Love it, Chris. Appreciate the time, man. We'll be following this story for sure. There'll be all kinds of different paths that come from this thing.
I look forward to seeing Slay coach that Tennessee team, too. I want some old-school coaching, Slay.
Oh, yeah, we're going to get to it. We started up. We're going to have a little preseason next week, the second and the third up in Knoxville. So a lot of people joining in, man. So this is going to be fun.
Hit me. I'll come watch you guys practice.
Hey, real quick on the way out. Odds, Tony Vitello is Tennessee's baseball coach next season.
I still think about 75%.
Okay.
I think Tony wants to stay in Knoxville. I think he likes it in Knoxville. But you know what? That's LSU. You're going to listen. Anybody would be crazy not to listen. But I still think at the end of the day, Tennessee has and is going to make him a really good offer. And I don't think Tony is looking to get out at Tennessee. I think in the ideal world, he would like to stay here. They just got to make it happen.
Odds Tim Corbin is Vanderbilt's head coach.
About as I'd say about the same as Slay still being able to throw it off the backboard and dunk it.
I don't know.
That is high.
We're talking
99.9. I think Tim Corbin is going to be a well-paid, which he should be.
Yeah.
A well-paid, I'll call it, Tim's a good guy. I'll say a young man. Still a young man when it's all said and done. I think he's getting ready to make some serious cash. I think he's getting ready to get a big raise.
Cash. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Chris.
See you guys.
All right, Chris.
Oh, Tony Vitello. Yeah, speaking of that, some news out of LSU. Another story from Glenn Gilbo. Latest piece in the Lafayette Daily Advertiser. The headline, LSU baseball coach job board 3.0 with Mike Bianco out. Are Tony Vitello and Jay Johnson the favorites? The AD is in Omaha. We'll talk about it next. Here, HL 104.5 The Zone. Three HL on the air. Brett Doherty, Don Davenport. Look like you got a lot of sun, man, in that tank top.
I do.
Yeah.
I took baby Babs to the pool, the neighborhood pool yesterday. Maybe that's why. We weren't there that long, though. Maybe my skin was just needing some vitamin D, soaking it in. By the way, baby Babs was not impressed.
By the pool?
Yeah.
Didn't want any of it?
Uh-uh. And she didn't at my parents' house for her one-year birthday party either. My parents have a pool in their backyard. She wanted nothing to do with it.
Well, wait a minute.
I mean, she sat there, and we have, like, this very cool little baby pool with little fountains and all that at my neighborhood pool.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant, like, in your backyard, one of those plastic things you get at Walmart.
No.
The little one is
like the one I saw in Winchester where the guy had the duck in the yeah, in the plastic.
The real
pool.
Duck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
No,
I
not
wish
one of those.
Went on and took a picture of it.
I know, right?
Not one of those.
So she didn't want any. Did you get in like the real pool with her?
Yes, she did enjoy watching all the big kids play.
Have you seen the videos of the people that just, like, the swim instructors that just throw the babies in the pool?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do.
Good Lord.
You teach them
to figure it out.
There's no survival that they can flip on their back. I know.
You can dunk them.
I haven't signed her up for that yet. I need to, but I have to.
I didn't do that with my three kids, and they know how to swim.
Well,
I mean,
we did that. We did that with our son last Memorial Day.
They just throw them in there, and they just float.
He's holding them, and he just drops him.
No, this woman I saw, like, she was outside, and she threw the baby in the pool, and like leisurely got in the pool, and the baby's like swimming for its life on its back.
Really?
Trying to hold its head up.
They are taught, it's instinct. They are taught they can flip on their back and save themselves, basically, if they happen to fall in.
So if we throw Buck Rising, who, by the way, cannot swim, for those that don't know, into like the, like, I just, me and Slay just throw Buck Rising into the pool, he would flip over onto his back and be okay?
Because we would leisurely be walking in.
Yeah, no, his ego would keep him down because it's so
anchor down.
That would weigh him down.
That's funny.
Thank you.
Well done, Hunk.
Good job, Hunk.
If that would have been cleaner, that could have been a promo.
How was it not clean?
Go back and listen. I don't know. LSU baseball coaching search is a month in, and Vanderbilt and Tennessee fans might be interested in this list now. Glenn Gilbo. Latest piece in the Lafayette Daily Advertiser. The headline, LSU baseball coach job board 3.0. With Mike Bianco out, that's the Ole Miss coach. And I think it's Bianco or something like that. There's a sports writer named Mike Bianchi. Mike Bianchi. Short dude, really funny. But anyway, pisses a lot of people off too, that guy.
Bianco.
Are Tony Vitello and Jay Johnson the favorites now? So, Florida coach Kevin O'Sullivan initially was rumored to be involved. Scott Woodward lost interest, according to Gilbo. Oregon State coach Pat Casey and Ole Miss coach Mike Bianco were interviewed. Neither received an official offer, and Bianco pulled his name out last night. East Carolina coach Cliff Godwin interviewed, but no offer given yet. And Godwin was the LSU hitting coach in 07-08, so a lot of former LSU players are going after him on social media. So the new board, he writes, Tennessee coach Tony Vitello, Arizona's Jay Johnson, Vanderbilt coach Tim Corbin, Louisville coach Dan McDonald, and East Carolina coach Cliff Godwin. So Godwin is 43. McDonald at Louisville is 50. Corbin, 59. Tim Corbin is not going to LSU. No. Stop with this. Take him off the list. Sharpie that son of a...
Hey, you never know.
I know.
I would be shocked.
I would be shocked.
I'm keeping it real, Davenport.
Yeah, hey, there we go.
You are.
Arizona's Jay Johnson is 44, and Vitello is 42. So Vitello, the youngest of these guys.
I will be surprised if Vitello leaves as well.
I will too, but I've talked to people recently that wouldn't.
Man, that'd be hurtful.
That's not good.
That'd be hurtful, man. You want to dig? You want to put me in the ditch after helping me out and giving me your hand, and then all of a sudden I'm dusting myself off, and then I just feel a thrust on my shoulders to push me back in the ditch. That would be Vitello leaving. And while I'm looking up and watching him walk away.
Can you blame him, though?
Speaking of this situation.
Yes. Are you blaming him?
Yes.
This is exactly what is wrong with Tennessee fans. Right there. He just showed that.
You didn't even ask me why am I blaming him.
Why?
Because we can give you everything that other teams can offer. Am I wrong?
Your boy Quint is on the line right now. He's been in Omaha. He played for Tennessee.
Q, I'm going after Slay. I'm telling him this is exactly why Tennessee fans get a bad rap, because basically he's like, if Vitello leaves, screw him. He's a terrible person. It's all his fault.
Q, am I wrong? Can we not offer everything else that any other school in the nation can offer? You
can't offer that history.
No, you're right there, Ron. You're right.
I think you're the same, Q.
That's right. Well, thanks for having me on, Don, Brent, John. It's good to hear from you. I've been listening to you guys talk about the LSU head coaching search, and if anything that my sources got me right, apparently Jay Johnson. I've heard that Jay Johnson is the new LSU, will be the new LSU head coach.
Oh, I'm all in, Q.
I mean, I'm not, you know, I might be buying it just a little bit just because I'm a Tennessee fan and I don't want to see Vitello go. Mm-hmm. But latest I've heard is I think it's going to be Jay Johnson.
That's good.
I mean, we had Vitello on the show. And look, you're not going to be as transparent as you would be behind closed doors and things like that. But it just felt like to me he was worried about his assistants being taken care of. He was worried about the facility being taken care of, and certainly from what I've heard, and you've heard the same thing, I know, is that it's not going to be for lack of money. Like they're prepared to make him one of the highest paid coaches in the country, so it makes sense for him to stick this out and to continue to build.
Absolutely, and I've talked to some of the assistants, and it's interesting. I think Vitello knows what it takes to run a program and build long-term success, and so the assistant coaches have told me that some of his priorities is one, assistant coach salaries, you know, two, facilities, and three, paying himself. So I think he's doing that for a reason. I think he knows what it takes to build up success in the long term, and I truly believe that. So I think he wants to make sure that he can keep good people around him. And that's why we talked about, I think on Friday, you know, zero turnover in the last 4 years. So he definitely takes care of his assistants.
What happened to this Tennessee team in Omaha? And for everybody listening, you were there in person. You played baseball, so you have relationships with those on the staff right now. So you're kind of in the mix here. What happened to this team?
It was a tough game, Don. It really was. I was able to chat with one of the assistants last night, and he said the biggest backbreaker he thinks was not being able to score in the first inning. That just kind of deflated the team a little bit. But they threw a great pitcher in Abbott last night. I mean, he's a top 100 prospect. Give him a lot of credit. But it seems like this lineup sometimes struggles against dominant left-handed pitchers, and I think a lot of the lineup, if you look at the lineup, a lot of the power and star power in there for Tennessee's lineup is left-handed hitters, and that lefty-on-lefty matchup can be tough sometimes.
Quint, you feel free to say no as I ask you this question on air, but can we call you back in a few minutes, ask you a couple more questions?
Absolutely.
Awesome. There you go. There's,
we're up against a break.
Yeah, there's Warwick Robinson. Great friends with his dad. Yeah, we'll talk with Quint about Texas when we come back, and Tennessee moving past that performance in game one. Can they get their legs under them? We'll be right back. 3HL 104.5 The Zone.